Tessivan, 23rd of May, Dain Elimelech Vanzetta. Who is behind the wheel? Halachic ramifications of a driverless world.
We say good morning, good morning. You can't believe the driver.
We'll see. That's one of the things we'll discuss. Good morning, apologies for being late. Unusually heavy traffic between Adwa and civilization. And them drivers, exactly, yeah. Okay, so Be'ezrat Hashem will be addressing this topic of who's behind the wheel. There's a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Y.Y. Rubinstein, who now lives in America. You're probably familiar with him. And Rabbi Rubinstein says the following: as long as you come up with a catchy title and you get people to come in, what happens during the shiur does not need any connection to the title. Now, it so happens I'm going to be breaking that rule, and I will try and address the very matter, the very subject that was addressed. Now, the advent of autonomous transportation technology, and more precisely of driverless cars, is bound to elicit a myriad halachic question in many, many areas. For example, and these are not necessarily questions that we're going to be addressing, we'll mostly be focusing on the zikim, on damages, but the questions that we will need to deal with at one point or another are, for example, may I ride a driverless car on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Why is it any different from a Shabbos lift, for example? Someone who has mobility problems. If we have a driverless car that is pre-programmed to do something at a certain time, open the door, and then you go in, and then it departs and takes you to shul, and then it brings you back, and you don't need, there is absolutely no interaction apart from going into the car, sitting, then being taken to wherever it is you're going, and then being driven back. Now, this question might be very similar to a question that was addressed around 100 years ago by Poiskim in New York City, a small staple in the eastern coast of the United States, when they inaugurated the New York subway. So a question was asked as to whether it was mutter to ride the New York subway on Shabbos, provided, you know, a number of measures were taken. For example, you would not carry the token. Let's say you knew the man behind the booth, and he knew that whenever you come in, he drops the token in the turnstile, and then you go in, there is no electricity being activated, so on and so forth. And surprisingly, we do find precedent in halachic literature, Poiskim in New York City, from 100 years ago, who were matir riding the New York subway on Shabbos and Yom Tov, if these precautions were taken. That was not the majority opinion. The majority opinion is that it could not be done, but we do find a precedent. So maybe this could be different. Maybe this could be similar, yeah? And you have the motor scooters, yeah? The mobility scooters. Many of them with you have a sign from a mobility scooter, kosher le Shabbos, machole technologia, so on and so forth. So that might be a possibility. That, I don't know, that's not the issue we're dealing with precisely today, but I just wanted to raise the question. Another question, and this is a really hair-raising question, which is as follows. If the onboard computer needs to make an immediate, quick decision, the computer identifies that there is an inevitable accident about to happen. So the computer now needs to make a decision between crashing into a tree and thus, chas v'sholim, killing the driver, possibly killing the driver. Because remember, the computer is calculating scores and scores and scores of algorithms at any given second. So the computer is calculating, and there is an unavoidable accident. It's either crashing into the tree and most likely killing the driver, or crashing into a crowd of 10 people, and killing those 10 people, but saving the driver.
It's not a human input.
What?
It's not a human input, yeah.
So someone created the program.
I know, but if it would be a human being, to make that decision would be completely different, surely.
But the function of the program is to replicate and emulate human decision making.
What's the question then?
What would be the halachically compliant decision? We all know the Gemara that says Chayecha v'Chayecha v'Recha.
Who should we blame? Who should we blame?
That's the third question we're going to analyze. But in this specific, that is one of the questions that if a program is to have an echsher, is that this driverless car is kosher to be driven? It's a myriad questions, and this is a very important question. This is a very important question. Well, because the Gemara says, Chayecha v'chayecha v'recha.
Chayecha
kodmim. But it's a singular form. It's Chayecha v'chayecha v'recha. Maybe when it comes to a crowd, when it comes to 10 individuals, the aloha might be different. And that, again, it's called utilitarianism. It's quite interesting. From a sociological perspective, this equation is called utilitarianism, and the MIT in America is conducting studies precisely about this very subject. And there's another question that Poiskim will have to deal with at one point or another when making sure that these cars will be halachically compliant. Yes, Rabbi.
That child exists already. If a person has the option of either saving himself.
Correct.
By either driving into the tree, mm-hmm, or saving himself by swerving, but he'll kill passers-by. So that shayla would exist already.
Ah, inachinami. I will show you now that the shayla of who is to blame in an accident with a driverless car already exists. And that is what we're going to do now. We're going to be focusing on Nezikim. And oftentimes in Halacha, in order to understand a new concept, an abstract idea, we normally try and start from something that we already know and we are more familiar with. And then we derive the inferences and we could apply techniques to expound on the alochas we are studying. Now, it's interesting to yes?
This car has already been programmed, yes, by somebody who's a halakhic expert. Therefore, all these halakhic questions should have been answered.
No. That is the thing. It will have to be programmed.
Yes, that's okay.
The questions will arise. And at the time of programming, of course, the programming needs to be halakhically compliant.
We have a Rashi car and a Tosfos car.
And you will have a Rabbeinu Tam car only start 72 minutes after Shabbos. Yeah, that's the Rabbeinu Tam car. Yeah, but it might be driving when it's Shabbos Lezman Gioinim, which is problematic. So we will need some automatic stone throwers as well. Okay, very good. It's going to be an interesting scenario. Yeah, very good. Now there have been four fatal car crashes with autonomous cars. Yeah. Only four. It's quite interesting. Tesla has conducted 130 million miles. 130 million miles of research. And there have been four fatal car crashes. Three of them killing the test driver, and one of them killing a cyclist in Arizona whose name was Elaine Hertzberg. And ever since I saw this, I decided I sold every single one of my Tesla shares. Now, Vita, there are six different levels of automation. There is level zero, which means no automation whatsoever. It's all human control. And then there is level five, which means full automation. There is no driver. There are only passengers in the car. And everything else is controlled by the computer. Now, in order to properly understand this, I would like to propose that we analyze who is to blame in a regular driven car accident. So we have the archetypal mischievers, Reuven and Shimon, and they were driving their respective cars. If anyone is a Reuven or a Shimon, please I ask you Mechila immediately. I want to avoid the Yom Kippur rush, so let me ask you for Mechila immediately, yeah? So they were driving their respective cars, and Shimon rear-ends Reuven. They get out of the car, and Reuven says, "Oh, Hashem, I'm okay, you are okay, and I'm sure you have insurance, so there's nothing for us to worry about, you know, let's just go on and carry on with our lives." And Shimon wants to play the one-upmanship game and the frumer-than-thou game and say, no, you know what, insurance is not going to look at it from a halachic perspective. Because halachically, I must tell you, my car is automatic, my foot was not on the pedal. My car was simply gliding forth when it crashed into your car. So I'm not responsible for this accident. What was he proposing over here? He was proposing that his car had its own life and was doing its own thing, and therefore he was Potter from Nezek. Now, is that a halachically valid premise or not? And based on this premise that Be'ez Hashem will now try and analyze, we will, I think, be able to understand what the halachic ramifications will be regarding a driverless car. And it shows, in a way, not that we need any proof, it shows the nitzchius, the eternity of halacha. Because if we go back to our very sources, to the sources that were given to us, Mamash HaSinai, we are able to identify and deal with this post-modern question of driverless cars. So you all know the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, in Maseches Baba Kama, Daf Beis, Amud Aleph, Arba Avos Nezikin, Ashor Ve'abor Amave Ve'aever. There are four categories of damaging agents. One of them is the shore, the bull, the pit, the Mave and Ever. You know there is a machloik is in the Gemara, so as to establish and identify who they are, Mave comes out to be men, and Ever comes out to be fire. So we have these four archetype damaging categories found in Halacha, and that is in Baba Kama Beis Amud Aleph. Now, if we look at the four of them, we can rule out boar immediately. Why? Because boar is only responsible for passive damages. A boar is never responsible for an active damage. Why? Because it is stationary. Someone dug it up, and it is there, and it takes someone to do an action, someone to actively fall into the pit and be damaged by the pit, which is passive. And then you have the shore. But maybe the shore will not be the right category either when it comes to a normal car. Why? Because one of the primary characteristics of a shore, and of course, shore is not only the bull, but it comes to encompass other animals and property owned by a person. One of the primary characteristics of an animal is that it is alive and moves without external assistance. So maybe we could say that a driverless car is in the same category. Why? Because in a way it is alive and it moves without external assistance. The shore doesn't require, and I know that this may be a myth burster for some, a shore does not require a crazy Spaniard dangling a red cape in front of it to move. When it decides for some reason to charge, that's what it does, and it does it out of its own volition. But so maybe a driverless car could be comparable to a shore. But I would say not. Why? Because I think you mentioned the shore is always alive. Until it dies, it is alive, and it's going to be doing its own thing without any external interference. Whereas a car, if you do not press the start button or you turn on the key, the car is virtually, inverted commas, dead. So it does require some external interaction. So I would say that the shore, the shore is certainly not the category for a regular car, and I would say it is probably, most likely, not the right category for a driverless car either. So now we are left with either Eish, fire, or Adam, men. There are very important halachic differences between Adam and Eish. Damages caused by fire are exempt from liability where the damaged object was concealed, was tamun. You only pay for what you could see, what was identifiable, what was hidden. You do not need to pay. And And Adam, man, has some very specific and singular characteristics for which man is liable also for damages that were completely beyond the damages control. And that is what we find in Baba Kama Chofov Amud Aleph and becomes Aloche Lemaisin Choshe Mishpat Shin Ein Ches Aloche Aleph. And if you will indulge me, I also want to quote the Rambam. The Rambam in Ilchos Chevi L'Mazik, Perek Aleph, Aloche Aleph. Says the Rambam, quoting from the Mishnah, because the Mishnah in Baba Kama Chovav Amud Aleph says, Adam Muad Le'olam, Ben Shoegeh, Ben Mezid, Ben Er, Ben Yoshem. A man is always responsible, always liable for the damages he causes. It doesn't really matter if he did so unwillingly or willingly, and if he was awake or sleeping when the damages happened. Says the Rambam. The Rambam in Ilchus Chevil Mazik Perek Aleph Aloch Aleph. Adam Wad Le'olam Ben Meshoegeh Ben Shoegeh Ben Mezid Ben Er Ben Yosun Ben Sachur Im Chaval B'Chaveru Oy Izik Mamoy Chaveru Meshalem Min Hayofesh Ben Ochasov. Says the Rambam, a man is always responsible. It doesn't really matter. He was sleeping, he was awake, he did it intentionally, unintentionally. If he damages a friend, his fellow man, or his fellow man's property, he must pay from the best of his property. Says the Rambam furthermore, in Ilchus Chevul Mazik again, in Perek Vov Aloch Aleph, Amazik Mamui Chaveiru, Chayev Leshalim Nezek Shalim. Someone who damages his fellow man's property must indemnify the victim to the fullness of the damage. Ben Shaya Shoegig, Ben Shaya Anus, says the Rambam. And even if he did it inadvertently, or Anus, it was beyond his control. Hareyu Kemezit. It is as if he did it intentionally. Ketzad, says the Rambam. The Rambam now gives us an example. How is it at all possible? So the Rambam gives two examples. A person fell off a roof, and lands on something, lands on an object, breaks the object, the aloha is that he must compensate, indemnify the owner of the broken object. Or if he was walking on the pavement, for example, and he trips and falls on top of an object, and he breaks the object, once again he must indemnify the owner of the object. That is the aloha. He was an anus, it was something beyond his control. So how can this possibly be? But that becomes aloha maisa. And it's mentioned in two places. In addition to Shulchan Aruch Shinayin Cheseif Aleph that I mentioned, which I will mention as the second of the two examples I'm about to give, it is also mentioned in Shulchan Aruch Hashemishpat Ilchos Chevil Bechaveru Siman Tav Chof Aleph Seif Gimel. And I quote, it says, I'm quoting from the middle of the Aloha, Aval benezik chayav afilu anus. Even if the damage that happened was beyond the person's control, the adam muad le'olam. Why? Because a man is always responsible for the damages he causes. Ben shoegeg, ben mezid, ben er, ben yosh. And then the Shulchan Aruch once again is quoting, if he was sleeping, if he was awake, if he did it intentionally or unintentionally.
Even if it's into Lemnichel.
It doesn't really matter. He didn't have any benefit from it. He didn't have a noah. He's completely heartbroken. He still needs to pay. Now, comes the Ramon. In Shin Ein Ches that I mentioned previously, the Ramah is Mechadesh something over here, which is based on a Tosfos in Baba Kama Chof Zayin Amud Beis, but it's the subject of a Machlokes Rishonim. Says the Rambam, says the Ramah based on the Tosfos, v'davka sheino anus gomor. So the Ramah is introducing a concept over here called Oines Gomor. What's Oines Gomor? So there is a chiluk over here. Let me read the whole paragraph, the whole halacha for you. Quoting, starting from the Mechaber, Asur le'azik mamon chaveru ve'im izik afal bisheinu ne'ene, which is exactly what you said, afal bisheinu ne'ene, even though he doesn't have any benefit from it, chayav le'shalim nezek sholim, he must indemnify to the fullness of the damage. And then it says again, Ben Sheya Shoegeg, Ben Sheya Anus. Now comes the Ramah and says, V'davka she'ino oynes gomor. So we see an afkamin over here in Halacha Lemaisa between the Mechaber and the Ramah. Whereas for the Mechaber, he says, any type of oynes is the same. There is no distinction, there is no chiluk, there is no differentiation in two types of situations beyond your control. The Ramah says that there is something called something which is extremely beyond your control. So that's a chiluk in the Ramah, based on Tosfos in Baba Kama Chof Zayin Amud Beis. What? What's the definition? Okay, very good. Let me give you a hypothetical definition. If someone is walking on the roof and he falls off, that would be an oinus. If a tile cracks, and because the tile cracked, he fell off, that might be a situation completely beyond his control. Why? Because keeping his balance on the roof, to a certain extent, is his responsibility. But if the tile cracks beneath him, and that causes him to lose his balance and fall, that might be completely beyond his control. But this would have ramifications in a Halacha Lemaisa. This would have why? Because if you go to a Sfardi basin, passing in accordance with Divrei HaMechaber, they wouldn't take into consideration an Oynes Gomor, but if you go to an Ashkenazi basin, they would take into consideration an Oynes Gomor. Now, where is the Mechaber getting this from? The Mechaber is getting this from the Ramban. The Ramban, Kedushei Ramban, in Maseches Baba Metzia, Daf Pei Beis, Amud Beis, the Ramban there writes that even if the wind of Eliyahu HaNavi were to blow a person off of a roof, which is the strongest possible wind, and the person then fell and broke an object, the person would still be chayev, would still be responsible. So according to the Ramban, there is absolutely no nafkamina. Now the Shach there, in Shinayin Ches Amud Seif Koton Aleph, is choylik on the Ramah. The Shach sides with the Ramban and with the Mechaber. So we have this machloikas over here. But there is room to say that, for example, if Shimon, before rear-ending Reuven, if he skidded on an oil spill, that would most likely, according to the Ramah and according to Tosfos, that would most likely be a situation extremely beyond his control, for which he would be potter. Now,
you should look.
What?
You should look. You could see oil there. No?
What if it's dark at night? We don't know. Many variables that could apply over here. Now,
hazard.
What?
Could be a known hazard.
Could be a known, if it's a known hazard, then absolutely he bears responsibility.
What's the makar of the Ramah to be mechalik? Where does he get it from?
From Tosfos in Chof Zayin Amud Baba Kama Chof Zayin Amud Beis. Because Tosfos is mechalik, and the Ramban in Baba Metzia Pei Beis Amud Aleph, the Ramban starts by saying Umatasi bet Tosfos be Baba Kama Chof Zayin Amud Beis shemefarshim oisa mishum adom amazik. The Ramban starts off by quoting Tosfos and then takes Tosfos to town and completely disagrees with him. Okay, so that is the makor. That is the makor. Now, so I am condensing as much as I can, you know, the very variables or the many variables of this shir, but there is the nafkamin over here is that this damage would either be adam or Eish. Now, Eish has a singular characteristic, which is Ruach Acher, Meurav Boi. There is an external wind that provides it with oxygen and with the capacity to move from one place to the other. You light a fire over here, and then the wind blows it in another direction. So the Eish itself doesn't have its own life. It depends on the wind. It depends on external factors to be taken from point A to point B. Whereas Adam, and there is, and Adam, whatever Adam does is an extension of himself. Now, there is a fascinating Tshuva Zarosh. Now, bear in mind that the Rosh lived between 1250 and 1327. So we're going back in time 700 years ago. And this Chuvah Zeroish is to this very day the basis for any shaila concerning car crashes. The Rosh is talking there about a wedding, not a wedding that took place in Windsor on Shabbos. It was a completely different wedding. The Rosh there is talking about a wedding, and the Chosson's party came out of the wedding, and everyone, they were riding their respective horses. The Chosson was riding his horse, and his best men were riding their horses, and the Chosson was riding in front, and then the horse of one of his friends crashed into his horse and caused damages. So the best man whose horse caused, charged forth and caused the damage, he said, it's not my responsibility. The horse is the horse. It has nothing to do with me. So the Rosh, in an unequivocal way, proves that the horse, when being ridden by a rider, is the extension of the rider himself. Even if the person doesn't have the same strength, that is the extension of the rider himself, and therefore, says the Rosh, it is your responsibility. It's as if you yourself caused the damage, and that applies to car crashes, regular driven car crashes. Now, when it comes to driverless cars, the situation will be very much analyzed in the same fashion. In the same fashion. Either the one who created the software will bear liability if he makes a mistake, or the manufacturer of the car, if he makes a mistake, will bear responsibility, or even the driver/passenger. For example, if he goes into the car in the morning and he gets a message on the screen saying, update your system, important updates are necessary, and he presses cancel. He presses cancel. And then, next thing you know, he has a car accident. There's no question about it. He will bear responsibility for his actions. So what if the only update, you know, was switching the color, changing the color of the screen from red to blue? We don't know that. If we know that, it's absolutely minor and he's not necessarily responsible. But if it is something important, the maps, the GPS positioning, so on and so forth. So even though at the time of the accident, he was simply, inverted commas, a passenger, given that he has responsibility for starting the car, updating the system, so on and so forth, the fact that he's not actively driving at the moment of the accident is of no halachic bearing whatsoever, and he would still be liable for the damages. Now, the halachas, we could go much, much deeper, but I started 5 minutes late, and I'm finishing now 5 minutes late, so I owe you a double mechila, but Be'ez Hashem, we shall be zoichet to meeting again and learning Torah together. Thank you so much.